As a major gift fundraiser, you're always trying to figure out how you can connect with your donors in a meaningful way. You want to know their passion and interests and why they have them. You're also trying to figure out how to serve them well. Our podcast today features Greg Warner. Greg is the CEO of MarketSmart, a company that has developed a software to help nonprofits use technology to help you know when donors are actively engaged with your mission. It also allows you to cultivate, steward, and effectively solicit donors in a more effective way. Join us and be enlightened in how technology can enhance your relationships with your major donor portfolio.
Welcome to the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group, featuring Richard Perry and Jeff Schreifels. Twice a month, we bring you the latest and best thinking about major gift fundraising so you can develop authentic relationships with your major donors. Here are your hosts, Richard and Jeff.
Well, hey, welcome back. And thank you for joining us here again. Richard, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, this guest we have today is just an awesome person.
We love this guy. He is so fun to talk with because he's got so much passion and energy for fundraising and for technology. So let's introduce him. Here we have Greg Warner. Thank you for joining us today.
The crowd goes wild. Wow, that was a nice intro. I'm going to play that for my kids. Tell them how important I am. Thank you.
Well, Greg, you are the CEO, president of MarketSmart. And MarketSmart is all about a technology company that's really about helping planned and major gift fundraisers with some great software that helps them raise more money more efficiently and with less cost. That's a pretty good thing. Why don't you tell us quickly your story and how you got to do what you're doing right now with MarketSmart?
Yeah. I didn't take the, nobody really gets into fundraising. There's no traditional route, although there's maybe some courses now in schools and you can get a degree, I guess. But I really came at it sort of backwards, I guess you could say, is because I just got into it because I'm really a ticked off donor. So I was running a marketing agency that was helping private sector companies, especially their lead generation, or I should say their sales teams. I was helping to generate highly qualified leads for their sales teams for highly considered sales. These are bigger dollar ticket items that require a purchaser, a buyer, a consumer to really stop and think. It's not like an impulse-oriented purchase. So that's the kind of marketing that we were helping with. And then I kept getting hit up on by my charities, my favorite charities, and the way that they went about it was just mind-boggling. And finally called one up and said, "What are you doing here?" And figured out that all of this abuse. Abusive, abrasive, spammy, junk maily kind of stuff was really, they were hoping essentially to get leads among major donors or legacy donors, mostly. And the way they were going about it was just idiotic. But she told me, of course, when I spoke to her, she said, "Well, but you have to understand that there's these experts in the field that have been doing this for decades. So we do what they tell us to do." Well, what they were telling them to do was pretty bad, and it was offending me. So I asked her, "Is it working?" And of course, she said, "No." So I'm like, what are you doing with my money? I gave you this money. You're spending it on stuff that's offending me and probably offending other people. So can you stop anyway?" So I helped her, and what we did worked really, really well. And then we got referred to another charity and then another one and another one. And then what our biggest problem was that we were generating too many highly qualified leads for our clients, and they couldn't get to them. That was the biggest problem. So I was like, well, we got to figure out software software that'll cultivate the leads properly while also prioritizing them so that the fundraisers are spending their time exponentially more efficiently. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. So that's the long but short story.
I know. And what's really cool about this software is that it's very personalized to a donor. And you track all the information related to that donor and what they're interested in. I mean, maybe you could kind of get into some of how that all works, Greg, because sure. I know when I looked at that dashboard in real time, it's just absolutely amazing. How personalized it is, and you use artificial intelligence and all kinds. I mean, it's stuff that most people haven't seen before. So it'd be interesting to just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, here's the thing is that fundraising requires time to do it well, to do it really well, especially if you're talking about a highly considered decision. These are major gifts and legacy gifts. This isn't the impulse-oriented, low-dollar stuff right. that people are used to spamming everybody with, which, by the way, isn't really working anymore, right? So if the rich are giving more and less people are donating these days, I mean, it just keeps dropping, and trust in charities overall is diminishing, then what you really got to do is you got to give donors a much better value proposition. You got to give them a much better customer experience, if you will. Mm-hmm. And you also got to give the fundraisers a much better experience so that they know who to call when and why and what to say. So the software essentially looks at both sides of the equation, the donor and the fundraiser, and gives both of them what they really need. So in the end, they connect and have meaningful meetings and less frustration between each other. It's not about abusing each other or trying to get money out of a donor. It's about building relationships. So, I mean, I'm trying not to over get too deep and sound salesy about the software. But at a high level, that's what it really does is it makes everybody happy. If you want me to go deeper, I can.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing that's interesting is anyone listening to Jeff and me talk about major gifts understands that the fundamental thing in major gifts is to understand and identify the interests and passions of a donor and then personalize all the messaging to that donor. And that's what you've been able to accomplish, Greg, using technology.
Yeah, well, here's the thing really is that most fundraisers, most really good face-to-face fundraisers who are dealing with major gifts and legacy gifts are really awesome at meeting with donors and helping facilitate their giving. Okay. That we know. What they're not awesome at is sitting down and doing the time-consuming and tedious aspects of the work, like writing those unbelievably, you know, personalized emails and picking out something to share with the donor and that's based on what they've told you during donor discovery meetings and so on. So doing that with 100 or 400 or 1,000 people is darn near impossible when you're also supposed to be meeting with them and that's what you're good at. So what we've done is we've leveraged software and AI. I mean, that's such a crazy term, but there are parts of there's AI. We're using AI. Okay. So we're taking that to leverage it to do what fundraisers should be doing if they only had the time. And we're kind of making it that, okay, well, let our system do what's time consuming and tedious so you can do the fundraiser what really matters most, which is meeting with those high value supporters, building those relationships, and facilitating their giving in a meaningful, impactful way.
Well, so somebody's got to be asking, well, not most specifically, how does that actually work? So maybe you could get into a little more detail in terms of the microsite and track everybody personally.
Okay, so look, in the olden days, we'd do donor discovery because we'd get a prospect identified list, you know, prospect researchers or well-screened or whatever, and then you'd go knocking on doors, calling people and asking them if you could meet, and just getting the meeting or the call was very, very hard. But after, you know, some work, you get it. And then you do your donor discovery, which is basically a qualification and prioritization type of episode where you're seeing, is there a fit? Do they want to have this kind of relationship? Do they really have capacity? Do they really have passion? Is there something in their life story that entwines with our mission that makes this make sense, that we should actually be building a relationship? Or are they just lonely? You know, I mean, and am I just wasting time because my boss told me I need certain number of visits, which is nonsense also. No. Mm-hmm. To be a good steward of your donors' dollars, you need to be meeting with people who can make impact and who are truly interested and borderline ready, or at least ready to have that relationship. So we put that on steroids, if you say, you know, with technology, by using a donor survey platform that we developed in order to do the donor discovery aspect of the work at scale. Now, once you do the donor discovery, then there's the very time-consuming and tedious aspect of cultivation, which needs to be personalized and highly relevant. Otherwise, it's going to be ignored. If you send very generic cultivation that's one for everybody, spray and pray, it's really not going to make an impact on that potential donor. You've got to personalize it, and it's got to be highly relevant and value-oriented. In other words, it can't be solicitous. It's got to provide value and help them move themselves forward in the consideration process as they self-educate and self-navigate, which is frankly how people make their decisions these days. It's not like the 1950s where the only way you could understand what's going on at a charity is by talking to the fundraiser. No. Mm-hmm. Now they can figure out anything they need to figure out pretty much on their own, looking on YouTube and this and that. So we're just helping them with that process of self-navigation by providing the cultivation using AI in a highly relevant way, so that what they say in their survey in the donor discovery and really makes a difference. But not only that, we also put a cookie on their browser so that we can track when they're engaging by name. I mean, this isn't aggregate data, but tracking where they're going on your website. Like the people who are constantly clicking on giving from a donor advised fund, well, guess what? I think that they probably need to be talked about, talked to about donor advised fund giving. They probably don't need the video or something you were going to send to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I think, Richard, Greg is talking our language here, because he's talking about qualifying, trying to better cultivate and steward a donor that's personalized to them. And, you know, Greg, as you know us, we've been talking about this for years, and this is what we do with our clients is, you know, we're very big on making sure that you're working with qualified donors and that you're cultivation and stewardship are all about trying to understand that donor's passion and interests, so you can relate it to all the great things that you're doing and bring that together to inspire the donor to do something with it. And what I'm hearing is that this software that you've developed enhances that whole process. It maybe speeds it up, and it brings in an online way. It increases their entire experience with the organization.
Yes. 1,000% yes. And it puts the fundraiser in the position to do what they do best with people who are ready and have opted in for that kind of relationship, so that they can do what they can make an impact and realize the best versions of themselves as donors. And so the fundraiser can realize the best versions of themselves as the facilitator of giving. Yeah. It takes away all that other stuff, but still does it. It just takes it out of the hands of someone having to do it. But it's entirely necessary. You can't get from A to Z in major gift and legacy gift fundraising without doing all the other letters in the alphabet. Mm-hmm. But they're hard to do. And it's not fair what fundraisers are asked to do, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of times leadership will think, believe, which is nuts. They think, okay, we identified a prospect, we well screened them, which is totally inaccurate anyway. And then they, and then you call them and go set up an appointment. And then we want you to solicit $100,000, you know, come back and just bring them. You know, there's so much in the middle. And it's not fair that fundraisers are treated this way by leadership that doesn't really understand the consideration process that the donor undergoes. Well, they really need to understand.
It's not fair to the donor. It's not even fair to the donor either.
Right? Well, yeah. And this is, yeah, I mean, this is, look, I'm the champion for the fundraiser and for the donor. I'm a pissed off donor who's also a salesperson who's only spent time in this highly considered decision-making process, yet 98%. I'm making up a number, but 98% of fundraising and fundraisers and the leadership and even the board members think that fundraising is all about transactions mm-hmm. for impulse-oriented, low-dollar gifts. Mm-hmm. And that is not it. That is very little about what it is. And if you treat the major gift and legacy gift prospective donor as if they're about to make a low-level transactional impulse-oriented decision, you're going to lose every time. You have to think about it. This is a game of months, years, and decades if you really want the big hits. If you want to keep doing the transactional impulse-oriented stuff for low dollars, guess what? Those donors are disappearing by about 5% every year, even mm-hmm. though our population keeps increasing. And the trust among those kind of donors just keeps going down when you look at the Give.org report or the Edelman report on trust recently came out. So, you know, you're fighting a losing game if you want to keep pressuring people with the low dollar impulse oriented stuff. It's time. Well, look, this is very biased because I got the software for this, you know, but it's time for people to treat these people who want to make a serious impact, treat them well and give them what they want and slow down. Stop pressuring them with all these like due dates and give now and double, triple match. And come on, you know,
well, Greg, we even see it's not just low dollar. It's in the major gift files that we look at mm-hmm. day after day. Richard and I can look at these files and we'll see every year a donor for the last 10 years are giving the same amount every year, 1,000 or 5,000 or 25,000 every year, every year, every year. And yeah. It shows us that that donor is not being cultivated. No one really is trying to understand who that donor is. But the donor has made a transaction every year. You know, they like it. They like the organization, but maybe they don't love it. And they don't love it because no one has actually sat with them to find out what are their passion and interests. And so we're not just talking about how we treat low dollar donors. It's also in the major gift files, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the thing, though, is that you don't actually have to sit with them to figure it all out. This is the thing. Donors, and funny, they don't want to sit with you right away anyway.
Exactly.
They want to have dialogue with you and your organization without a human being. They like talking to their computer. They like filling out a donor survey. They like the fact that then you're sending them emails that are highly relevant based on what they said. They're warming up to a relationship with you, and then they will sit with you and they'll act like they know you and you guys have been buddies for a long time because this is how people want to be treated. They want to be able to ease themselves in, and technology is the perfect. This is the way people communicate these days. You know, so,
yeah. Well, what's fascinating about what you're saying here is that ultimately the whole thing is actually not about money at all, which is what Jeff and I have been talking about for years. It's about trying to do some good on the planet, and the donor is basically saying, "Can I trust you to be a partner to do that?" And then once that donor arrives at that conclusion and it's a healthy relationship and interaction, then the donor can basically then parts with the money. The thing that you've set up, Greg, is to basically find all of that out through the process and develop a real relationship that then moves to the discussion on, well, what are we actually going to do on the money side of things? But it's not ultimately, I mean, the first part of it's not about money at all. Don't you agree?
money is at the very end.
Exactly.
Money. I really break this down that when you get into a highly considered decision-making process, and you have to really understand this. I just went through this with a fundraiser recently, is that I said, look, take a piece of paper, turn it horizontal, you know, landscape, and draw a line through the center from left to right. And put you, say me, you know, on top, meaning what you're going to do, and then write donor at the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And then recognize that all the way on the left is where they are now. Just think about one donor, you know, don't think about a million and all this stuff. And then, of course, what most fundraisers and organizations do is they think about all the stuff they got to do, meaning the top half. Okay, don't worry about that. The first thing you got to do is really think about and understand the donor's consideration process. So from day one here, okay, they gave 10 grand last year, or maybe even $50, whatever it is. And here's where they are in the consideration process. And then you have to think about what are they going through all the way to the end where they finally make the decision. And this usually breaks into most of that from left to right is going to be the why stage of the consideration process. Mm-hmm. Once all that gets met, in other words, they understand the why, they understand why they care, which they probably didn't even realize. They understand that it's their mom that used to take them to the museum. And yeah, you know what that is? I wasn't thinking about it that way, but yeah, it's my mom that inspired the, and all that, all these why kind of concepts. And then at the very, very end, they finally get to the how, which begins to be the transactional aspect of it, which is, okay, I have decided this will give me a sense of meaning in my life if I make a very meaningful decision here and an impactful gift. How do I do that that's best for me, best for you, best for everybody? How do I gain notoriety if that's something I'm looking for? You know, that then you get into the how. But most of it is just in the why. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Greg, we have a major gift fundraiser listening today. And there are
only one. We better have more, but okay. Yeah.
And that person is sitting there going, okay, how can you help me be a better major gift fundraiser? And then how can I give my donors a better experience right now? What would you say to them?
Yeah. So I guess maybe I'll start with the second one first, is that less is more. And it's sad. I know that your leadership may be pressuring you to close gifts, but you can't really close gifts. You can only help people realize that they want to make a gift. So it's about your job is not to ask. It's to help donors ask themselves. Does that make sense?
It does. Although we would say at some point there needs to be some ask.
Yes. Of course, at some point there does need to be some ask, but it's always better when, funny thing is at some point there, here's the thing. Okay. So I've been writing contracts and doing sales. I've been in sales since I was a kid, right? So the best deals always are the ones where somebody says to me, all right, well, I really want a contract. How should it be? You know, let's work on a contract. Mm-hmm. Right. So in that regard, it's not so much that I'm asking and, you know, of course, then I have to deliver a proposal and then I have to follow up. And, but there are many that are, or most frankly, in our business, it's the fundraiser that we're working with that finally says, yeah, it's time for me to get a proposal or it's time for me to get a contract. What do you recommend? This is the best. So yes, here's the problem I have with the solicitation thing. And it just happened recently with a friend of mine who's big time muckety muck lawyer down in DC, big time. I mean, I can't tell you the people he works for, but big. So he had his private school, his high school, and someone asked to visit with him and they got the meeting. He said, sure, that would be great. You're going to be in the area. Sure. You know, but which was probably a lie, but okay. So you're going to be in the area. Come on and visit. Came and visited visited, laid out this whole presentation of basically assuming how much this guy should give and asking him for a six-figure gift on the first meeting. Mm-hmm. And he was like, whoa, you know, what's going on here? And he actually told the guy, he said, look, I got to think about this. And then the fundraiser, so I'm told, said, look, I know that if you say you got to think about it, that probably means you're actually not going to do it, which was offensive to this guy. And he said, you know what? You're actually 1,000% right. I'm not going to do it. So just leave.
Oh, boy. Wow, my goodness. So,
yeah. Now, I get it. You do need to solicit, but I don't know, man. I get worried about these things, especially when the directives are coming from people who don't understand the process and they push these fundraisers too fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah. I'm sorry. I'm being a little contrarian here, but I just know from experience that when everything is right, and yeah, maybe at some point you should just look at the donor and say, so are we going to do this or not? You know, and if you have the good relationship, they'll accept it. They'll accept you pushing them at that point.
I mean, the thing is, Greg, we absolutely agree with what you're saying here.
Yeah, absolutely.
The front end of the conversations about finding a match between what the donor's interested in and what they want to accomplish on the planet and what the organization is doing. In fact, the bulk of the conversation is that.
Yeah.
And often we say that if you do all of that right, like we're sitting here talking about, then the whole relationship is substantially better, and you're at a place where you can kind of move the thing forward, and you may not even have to ask. The donor might just say, you know what, we need to do this, or I need to do this, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, we find, and there's a short part about this in my book, and I call it engagement calling. And of course, my whole phrase is engagement fundraising. And that's, I'm going to plug the book here, but that's the name of the book, engagement fundraising. So engagement calling is about always offering value to people and just give and spurring the law of reciprocity so that people feel a sense that they actually, wow, this is really great service. This is great information. Thank you for including me, blah, 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 until they finally say, what can I do? You know, they finally step up and they're like, this is great. I understand the need. I understand. And you've shown that you are worthy of my trust, which trust is the foundation. It's a cornerstone in the foundation of all of this. So first, if you don't have trust, and this is like my friend with the fundraiser, he didn't trust him. He barely knew him. And he's being solicited for $100,000 because he shows up on a well screening or something. You know, this is not nice. You have to go through the, remember my sheet of paper, understand where the donor is. Trust is number one. You got to gain trust. And the way you could gain trust is by providing value consistently and in a personalized and relevant way over time that helps people understand how they can find meaning in their lives through impactful giving. Okay. So do that. I don't know. I'm rambling at this point.
Stuff, Greg. And hey, how can people who have been inspired by this find you?
Okay. So they can go online, check me out at imarketsmart.com. That's the letter I. Yep. There's the blog. There's tons and tons of free resources, training, all that kind of stuff. You can link in with me, Greg Warner. Yeah, search for me. I like to link in with people, very active on LinkedIn. Get my book at Amazon or anywhere, Borders. It's called Engagement Fundraising. And if you want, you can, well, actually, that's probably enough. I was going to say come visit, but no, don't come to my house. Leave me alone.
Well, we encourage you, Greg has a lot of great resources. So go to his website and certainly buy that book, because it's an excellent book. I've been able to review that. And it's just top notch thinking along the same lines that we've been talking about today.
So blog, all that stuff. I read it all the time. It's really, really good stuff. So, and folks, one thing that we have for you, a free resource, we have our, what we call our marketing impact chart. This is for you to be able to download, and it helps you track all of your touches that you're doing for the whole year for your donor, so that you can track all of your donors and know exactly how to plan for the next 12 months what you're going to do. And part of that may be all the online survey work you're doing with MarketSmart sometime, but all of that can be tracked so that you know exactly what you're doing with your donors. And we find that this marketing impact chart is very helpful. You for tracking all of your donors, and have had great success with it. So go to veritasgroup.com and you can download that. Click the download button and you'll be able to see it and upload that marketing impact chart. But Greg, thanks for joining us. You have been a great ball of energy, inspiration, passion. We thank you for your care about this industry and all the ways that you're pushing everyone to do better so that we can treat donors better and fundraisers better.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Appreciate that.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it, too. Thanks for spreading the word.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Nothing But Major Gifts podcast from Veritas Group. Richard and Jeff also write an ongoing blog that you can subscribe to for free at veritasgroup.com. Please join us again next time.